Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kano Rinse Sound of Play 7. Sound of Play, we bring you an eclectic fortnightly compilation mix of some of our favourite pieces and some of yours from the many Making a Crappy Job Bearable video game soundtracks we've enjoyed over the years. Joining me, Leon Cox, in this Sound of Play, it's Josh Garrity.
Hello there.
And a new Sound of Player, Sean O'Brien.
Hello.
Welcome, one and all. We've got, I think we've got another fantastic set of tracks lined up, another nine. I think we've got stuff from the 80s, 90s, 2000s and 2010s, if I'm right.
Looks like it.
In thinking, yes, good stuff from real musicians and pretend electric ones. You know. You get the idea. Let's start with a community request. Let's start with a bang with Dom's Beard. And once again, he's reminiscing about the halcyon days of the arcade. He says, my local arcade always had every machine turned up to full volume, and Parodius was definitely a game that benefited from it. A superb, quirky mix on a song everyone has heard before and was a highlight of a thoroughly enjoyable game. So this is, the title of the track is Even the Patience of a Piero Has Limits, which is a wonderful title. It's from stage two of Parodius Da Shinwa Kara Owarae. excuse my pronunciation. The direct translation is, of course, it's Parodius from Myth to Laughter, better known as just Parodius or Parodius Nonsense Fantasy, came out. Originally was an arcade game, of course, as we say, came to SNES and PlayStation and Saturn and various other machines. Konami, of course, sending up their own Gradius or Nemesis series with a truly ridiculous, absurd, almost Dadaist take on their own games. And this particular piece actually features little sections from two Tchaikovsky tracks, Piano Concerto Number 1 in B-flat minor and Dance of the Reed Pipes. Say no more, really.
We'll be right back.
That's a very silly song indeed. A very silly song from a very silly game, or a very silly series of games. It's hard to believe that even the parody of Gradius has now been around for almost a quarter of a century. Frightening, frightening indeed. Right. Now that's cleared the sinuses or something. Let's go to Sean with something more recent.
Yes. I was bound to talk about Dyad on the show sometime. Anyone who follows me on Twitter knows that I'm a massive fan of this game that came out in 2012 on the PlayStation Network. It was self-published by, they're called Left Square Bracket, Right Square Bracket Games. Cool. It's Sean McGrath. It's just him. And he's the guy who programmed Dyad, and the composer of this specific track is David Kanaga, who has worked on a few games. Dyad is probably the most prominent one other than Proteus.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about the Dyad soundtrack that you can find on the internet is that in Dyad, there's no actual specific song. So basically, for those who don't know, Dyad is a tunnel shooter that's kind of similar to like Rez
Tempest.
TX yeah, Code. A lot of Jeff Mincer stuff.
A bit rhythm action-y as well, hasn't it? It's got a rhythm element to it.
Yeah, well, the thing is that it's like almost like you create the rhythm. So everything that you do in the game makes a noise. Like even from the main menu, if you just tilt the sticks around, it does different types of noises and different drum sounds. Yeah. And so basically the idea of Dyad is that you shoot through the level as fast as you can, but at the whole time you're kind of making the soundtrack as it goes. And so this track is from a soundtrack that the composer made. He actually just ended up making like full songs with all the noises that you can make in Dyad.
Okay, right.
Yeah. So it's really crazy. And some of them aren't really songs. They're just kind of noises that he kind of puts together in a weird rhythm. And basically the entire soundtrack is like if you put all the rave songs and all the techno songs and glitch songs, put them all together and kind of laced it in acid, then you get Dyad. So here's Space Sox.
Assume is it Space Ox or Space OX? I don't know.
Well, yeah, because the Ox is capitalized, but I think it's a clear reference to Space Giraffe.
Space Giraffe, yes. Yeah. Another Tempest infused shooter. Excellent stuff, David Kanaga. There, he seems to be. I don't know how many games he's done, but he seems to be quite prolific in his own right as well.
Yeah, he's popping up a lot now.
Check him out on the internet. And now we come to young Josh. What have you brought for us?
Hello. I have brought to the table a track from a game that we covered in Cane and Rinse episode 61, Okami. The track in question is called Shinshu Plains 1 by Masami Ueda. I chose this track because Okami is a game that gets lauded a lot for its art direction, and rightly so. It looks amazing, especially the HD version. But another aspect of the game's, you know, aesthetic, as it were, is the music, and I think that game, that soundtrack, is as worthy of praise as the visual design of that game.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Shinshu Plains is a track that repeats several times throughout the game. It's a location you revisit several times, and it never gets old. Just it's so sweeping and majestic. It reminds me of the best of the Zelda music, but also still, you know, very much its own thing. It takes me straight back to those beautiful landscapes of Nippon in Okami, and just the thing that this track reminds me of is just like going around healing trees, because that's what I spend most of my time in Shinshu Plains doing, just healing the trees, feeding a bunch of rabbits, and that's what this music takes me back to, is just helping nature along, and that's what it feels like to me. It just feels like just music encapsulating the beauty of nature. It's a beautiful piece of music. We'll be right back.
Yeah, a couple of things about that, which I absolutely love. I remember that coming on to my MP3 player as I was, deathly bored at work, walking around the block on a break one day, and suddenly somehow everything seemed infinitely more epic. Jay, who will be editing this podcast together for you. Thank you, Jay. He owns this amazing, beautiful Japanese-only OST box set, 4CD, I think it is. And he also has an Okami art book, Japan only, which I'm extremely jealous of. He's every time I've tried to slip it out of his house without him noticing, he's spotted and put it back on his shelf. But another thing I wanted to say about Okami is in the soundtrack player that you get in the HD version of the game on the PS3, it actually has a key to tell you which of the three composers who worked on the game worked on each track. Which is, regular listeners will know, we often have problems with collaborations because you don't know who did what. But on the game there, it actually tells you because three brilliant composers worked on Okami, and it tells you who did what. So well done to that. Yeah, great job indeed. Oh, it's my first pick. Yes. Right. Hello. I woke up with this in my ear this morning, in my earworm, in my head. So that was, it was like a calling to me. Actually, it wasn't this version. This is a remix. So the game in question is Project X, the Amiga game, nothing to do with the recent film thing about a thing, which I haven't seen. This is from Team 17 back in 1992. There was a special edition which had, I think, I had a remixed version of the track in 93. But this is actually by the original composer, Alistair Brimble, who worked on a lot of Team 17 games back at the time, Super Frog and Alien Breed and Assassin, Body Blows Galactic as well. He went back to this track in 99 and remixed it, and that's the version we'll be listening to. Now, I've never been much of a raver, but back in the early 90s, again, you know, like over 20 years ago now, this sort of music sounded like high tech, sounded like the future. Everyone was making, you know, little fish, big fish cardboard box and all that. I wasn't off my face on ease and holding glow sticks and wearing white gloves, but this music actually sort of conjured up something about that to me, but worked in conjunction with this very, very beautifully drawn horizontal shooter that was far, far too hard for its own good, with a horribly uncontrollable main ship, and nothing like as fun as any of the games that it was from the arcades that it was trying to mimic. But still, it was a technical tour de force, and this music sealed the deal. Yeah, it wouldn't be a Sound of Play now if we didn't have a sort of ravey early 90s shooter track of some sort. But why not? You know, we know our demographic. We know our audience. But a change of tempo and a change of style completely now. Here, a new contributor. We have one Mr. Radio Protector. And he says, my request is from Kentucky Route Zero, the full band version of Long Journey Home from Act Two. Composer Ben Babbitt's soundtrack is a hypnotic, hallucinatory blend of ambient electronic music and old bluegrass standards that score the nighttime highways, collapsed mines, and subterranean government offices populated by the game. Musicians Ben, Emily, and Bob appear in the game as a Greek chorus, playing games, holding conversations, and playing songs, seemingly indifferent to the events unfolding around them. I haven't played this. Have either of you played Kentucky Route Zero?
I'm desperate to, though. It sounds right up my alley. It's so weird looking.
Yeah, I've played the first act, but okay. I really want to play the rest of it at some point. Yeah.
So this music, as contributor Radio Protector says, is composed by Ben Babbitt. Now, I noticed that he's part of a three-piece group called Pillars and Tongues, along with Beth Remis and Mark Trecker. And I wonder if those two are the Emily and Bob on this soundtrack. I couldn't find out to be sure. But anyway, in this case, for this track, Long Journey Home, the ensemble version, they go by the excellent name of the Bedquilt Ramblers.
Surely is a train, I'm on my long journey home. Lost all my money but a $2 bill. $2 bill, boys, $2 bill. Lost all my money but a $2 bill. I'm on my long journey home. I'm sick and lonesome and I feel kind of blue. Feel kind of blue, Lord, feel kind of blue. I'm sick and lonesome and I feel kind of blue. I'm on my long journey home.
Lovely stuff. I do like a bit of, you know, American folk, which is effectively what that is, country, bluegrass tinge. So that is a PC and Mac game, came out last year and the year before, Acts 1 and 2, by Cardboard Computer. Definitely one for the big cane and rinse spreadsheet of games to potentially do in the future. Now, back to Sean O'Brien already.
Yep.
It comes by so fast.
And all the way back to 1988. So Mega Man 2, the soundtrack, I think, is what inspired basically the type of music I grew up listening to. So I played that 1988, so I was 6 or 7 at the time, I played it. And so, I, you know, no one has an actual taste in music at that point. They just listen to whatever you hear. But once this song comes on, it's Dr. Wily Stage 1. That's the only name I could find for it. I'm assuming that just is the name. But anyone who's played Mega Man 2 knows this song. It's like metal bands cover it all the time. Any band that specifically does video game covers, they always play it too. It's such an epic metal song that happens like make your way through all the bosses in Mega Man 2 and you finally get to the Dr. Wily stages. I think there's four altogether. And this is the first one, so you finally make your way there, and this totally falls out epic dragon song comes on. And after all this kind of like cute poppy stuff that plays throughout most of the tracks and or most of the stages in Mega Man 2, and it's a great song, and it's a lot of fun. And I grew up listening to metal, and I think this is the first song that inspired that preference. So yeah. Here we go. Dr. Wily Stage 1 by Takashi Tateishi.
Interesting about that, hearing that now, is that it's, I can imagine for a lot of people it would be hard to imagine that as metal.
Yeah,
do you know what
yeah.
I mean, because of the sound of the Famicom yep. mm-hmm. sound chip. But actually, you know, you don't need to go very far on YouTube to hear people mm-hmm. thrashing that out on guitars. Takashi Tateishi, better known back then by an alias, as so many Japanese developers were, of Ugaretsu-kun. He worked on some pretty big, well-renowned Capcom games in the 80s, but then left at the end of the 80s, and that's pretty much that. He worked on 1943 Kai before he worked on Mega Man 2, also worked on LED Storm, and the Game of Willow, George Lucas film, Sidearms, UN Squadron. He gets a credit on Mega Man 10, but I don't know if he actually did anything for it or whether that was a nod back to his work on the original. But one of Capcom's great 80s composers, of which there were so many. Excellent stuff. Josh, your second pick for Sound of Play 7.
Hello, yes. It's a track from Final Fantasy 7, but it isn't One Winged Angel. I was just having a conversation with my girlfriend about Final Fantasy 7's soundtrack, and I was trying to tell her why I love One Winged Angel so much, but was really hesitant to use it on a podcast. And I, the best description I could come up with was, it's kind of like Let It Go, like what that's become for the video game industry. Yeah. It's a great piece of music, but I've heard it about 50 times now. So anyway, Genova, it's a piece of music that gets played at several points in the game, but I think most memorably it's played on the lead up to the final three boss battles of the game. And it creates such a sense of drama in those final moments as your party descends into the bowels of the earth to face Sephiroth for, you know, the final time. This game is hugely important to me because it was a game I played at a very young age, and it's kind of shaped a lot of my tastes in art and music and so forth and so on. It's actually quite interesting that me and Sean have paired these two tracks together, one after the other, because I think Final Fantasy VII soundtrack for me is much like what Mega Man 2 soundtrack was for Sean, in that it really informed on the kind of music that I want to hear all the time, but especially from video games. Genova is absolutely up there as one of my favorite tracks from the game. It's really memorable. It's definitely one of those tracks that once you hear it once, it's really hard to get out of your head. You'll find yourself humming it on the way to work and wherever you go. Yeah, so here is Genova by the legendary Nobuo Uematsu.
Excellent stuff. As you can imagine, listeners, those of you who know of our other podcast, the main Kane and Rince podcast, Final Fantasy VII is, of course, one of the most commonly requested games that we cover. All I can say is maybe one day, but there are a lot of Final Fantasy games. Obviously, there's a PS4 version coming soon, albeit a port of the PC version, but it might, you know, might tickle our fancy again. And so we might go back and start with Final Fantasy 1 and see how we get on. But yes, Nobuo Uematsu is a composer who I'm surprised we hadn't, I don't think we featured up until this point, but remiss of us. But equally so, I don't think we'd featured a track by Yuzo Koshiro until now, which I might be mistaken. You know, I've been recording these for a few months now, and my memory isn't what it used to be. But I felt it was high time. I've written a little about Streets Rage Bare Knuckle Music before, and we covered the entire Streets of Rage Bare Knuckle trilogy. That is the Genesis, focusing on the Genesis Mega Drive versions, back in issue 70 of the Kane & Rince podcast. So again, frighteningly, this is from 1991. That's 24 years ago. This version is only short. This is one loop of it. Now online, you can generally find it in sort of 4 or 6 minute variants, but, This will be, unless Jay decides to extend it, this will just be one loop of the track known as Stealthy Steps, which is stage 5 of the original game, which is the one set on the boat. Now, I don't think for me there's ever been a more the great 80s and early 90s art of urban thoroughfare pugilism in gritty streets has ever been better depicted in a piece of music than by this one. Rather that, you know, it's called Stealthy Steps, but actually it doesn't really have that vibe to me so much as it has this just incredibly driving sense to it, which is this, it's got this just immense bass underpinning everything. And the only thing it misses not playing it in the game is the occasional blast of the foghorn of the ship, which always just kicked in just slightly asynchronously with the beat of the music, which added something interesting. But even without that, this is absolutely amazing. It sounds like nighttime cityscapes and graffiti in back alleys and all that sort of thing. Stealthy Steps. Kenzo Kashiro and Stealthy Steps from Streets of Rage, the first, or Bare Knuckle. Our final contribution in Sound of Play 7 comes from a regular correspondent, Scrussel. And he wants one from Nier, a game that we looked at back in Kane and Rince podcast issue 111. You can find that in the usual places, iTunes, on the blog, on the forum, Stitcher Radio, wherever you like. Scrussel says, Nier has an excellent soundtrack that is quite unlike anything else out there. It has a very wistful and mysterious tone to it, which gives it a dreamlike quality. It really sucks you into the world and story and drenches the game in an atmosphere that I utterly fell in love with. While any song from the soundtrack would be a good choice, I'm choosing the track named Song of the Ancients, since when I first heard it in the game, it grabbed me like nothing else. It first appears being sung by one of the major characters of the game in the protagonist's hometown, and when I came across them, I couldn't help but stop what I was doing and sit there for a while, doing nothing but listening. It was a magical moment, and I still can't listen to it without getting a lump in my throat. So this is Song of the Ancients by Keiichi Okabe. And again, this is a multiple composer game, but he was the main man on the game. Now, the vocal is by Emiko Rebecca Evans, otherwise known as Emmy. She's an English singer who lives in Tokyo. And for the game, she apparently wrote songs in multiple different languages. But this one, Song of the Ancients, is an entirely fictional tongue. So don't try to parse what the lyrics are, because they are made up. So yes, hear all about what we thought of Nier in that Kane and Rince 111, the 2010 game from Kavia, still not sure, Square Enix. But before we hear the track, we just want to remind you that, as you've heard once again, it's not just about what we from Kane and Rince like, or even just our occasional guests. It's also what you want to hear on Sound of Play. So please venture over to our forum. That's at kaneandrince.com/forum, and you can request your video game favorites. No licensed tracks, please. Not for copyright reasons, but because it potentially opens the floodgates to just playing our favorite songs that happen to be in video games. Remixes and covers are okay, but licensed tracks that are straight out of some band's back catalog, we probably won't entertain those. However, anything else video gamey, we'll continue to include a selection of those in the playlist for each and every show. So it just remains for me, Leon Cox, to thank Josh, Sean, and our excellent community contributors as always. And here, as we say, from Nier and Keiichi Okabe's Song of the Ancients. ¶¶